it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reach people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions you guys have mailed in, texted in, sent in, and there's a ton of them. So what are we going to do here today, Angel?
Well, we're going to first thank you so much for joining us. And if you're watching us on YouTube, please push the subscribe button. On Facebook or Instagram, please share with your friends. Thank you so much. That does help us out a whole lot.
Yes, it does. It helps us spread the word because that's what we're trying to do. And you might consider partnering with us. The reason we can do this here today is because we've got partners who have supported us for years and are very faithful, very loyal. And
Thank you, partners.
They pay for all this. We could not do this without you. And so thank you, partners. So if you consider doing that, you can go to our website, joemcgee.com, and there's a simple place to sign up. And we'd really appreciate that. So thank you, guys.
Plus, on that same website, you can see our events, where we're going to be. If we're going to be in your area, we'd love to see you.
Yes, please
and,
come out.
And there's a blog and a store with all sorts of great resources. All right, Joe, why is marriage so important? We live in a culture where it seems like less and less people are making the commitment.
Yeah, it's because they've too much negative media, their own families, divorce rate kind of a record high, and people grow up saying, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to. If I don't get married, I don't have to get divorced. We'll just live together. And so you kind of go back to the Word of God. You got to go back to the Bible where God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. That was God's idea. Not good for man to be alone. I want to make him a helper. And so God made a helper when he made a woman, and he said, two are better than one. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If any two of you shall agree on anything you ask the Father in heaven, it will be done here on earth. Two is a powerful number. And so hell knows that. That's why the first marriage went south. Got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids start killing each other. And that was the first marriage. So hell hates marriage. And so, but God loves it. And he said, this is good. There's power in this. You need to know what the Word of God says. So we came with the book. It's called the Bible. Volume 2 is not coming out. So just get it. Start with the Proverbs. Read a proverb a day for 1 month. It'll change your life. You'll start talking different to one another. You'll start treating each other different. There's a lot about marriage in Proverbs. It's really good.
Well, in marriage is you're making a covenant before God.
Woo, that's a big word, baby.
It is a big word. And
guys, you listen, in the Old Testament, you can't have a covenant unless somebody dies. This is a big commitment. You're promising until death us do part, not until I kill you first. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving you. I used to tell people, marriage is not trying to find a spouse or a mate. A marriage is you're trying to find the one person you want to spend the rest of your life giving your life away to. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to find the one person I want to spend the rest of my life serving. It's not what I want. It's who I want to serve. I want to serve you the rest of my life. So.
And the thing is, with my children, both having been through a divorce, they were very slow to get married. Listen, when my daughter started dating her husband, the only guy she's ever dated, I thought it would take forever for her to even hold his hand. And then to kiss her, it took forever. I mean, honestly, this is the truth. I felt sorry for the boy.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And so she's very, very slow because she didn't want to be hurt like that again.
Yep.
Same with my son. He did not marry till he was in his later 20s. And now he's 29 and I asked him last time I was there, you going to have kids? And he said, I just don't know. And I get it. That's out of that pain that they experienced. Do I want to have a child that's going to go through that same kind of pain? No, I don't want to put anybody else through that. I understand that. But that's part of the devil's plan in divorce. In these last days, the attack against the family.
Yes.
And so
hell hates the home.
Yeah. And so today, we are being bombarded with everything. What a family looks like. Is it two men? Is it two women? Is it a guy dressed up like a woman? Transgender. Or I identify as blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
I told somebody the other day, I identify as I weigh 110 pounds. But so far, that isn't helping me very much. But But so not making I'm making a little bit of fun, but seriously, a marriage is an important thing. It is a covenant between a man and a woman before God.
Second greatest thing God ever did was create marriage. Outside of salvation, second greatest thing God ever did for mankind was he gave him a spouse. He that finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from God. Second greatest thing God ever did for a human was give them the ability to have a spouse.
Because where you're weak, I am strong.
Yes. Two are better than one.
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, Joe and I are completely different. Yeah. He loves to study. If you asked me to study, my head would just about pop off my shoulders. He could spend hours doing that. I would be asleep in 5 minutes. Remember one time years ago when they had that, you remember that they had that, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? That book came out.
Oh, yeah.
And so everybody at the church said, let's get up at 6 o'clock and go pray for an hour.
Oh, yeah, man.
And so after 5 minutes, I'm over there. And so
my head's on my seat, but I'm not praying.
I said to my husband, who was leading the prayer meeting on the way home, by the way, I could not only tarry for 1 hour, I couldn't even tarry for 5 minutes. And you got to find out where your strengths are and allow the other person to strengthen you. But yeah, marriage is a wonderful thing if you learn to celebrate it.
Well, and I tell people, we came with a book. Volume 2's not coming out. You got to read the book. And God says what women do, what men do, and it's a blessing. It's just, it's not good to be alone. It's not. God said, listen, you marry your opposite. And that's what makes most people nervous. Like, we don't agree on anything. I've had couples come to me, Christian couples, recalcitrant, come to me, and they said, well, we just don't agree on anything. I said, you're not supposed to. Opposites attract. It's two different people from two different families with two different IQs, two different thumbprints, two different voices. God's a creative God. So God gives you everything you're not.
But the wonderful thing about marriage, to me, having been married and then having a 12-year by myself as a single parent and then being married again, and the one thing that I missed the most when I was a single parent about being married was the friendship.
Yep.
That I could pick up the phone at any time and say, hey, so-and-so, hey, I'm alone over here. Come eat lunch with me. Or, you know, hey, we're just going through life together. The other day, I was in the airport, and I got sick as a dog. And I cannot imagine being by myself with that. Now, Joe took some of the brunt of that because it wasn't the prettiest moment.
It was
moment.
My job. I loved it. I was thrilled to do it.
I got
rewards on my chest.
Yes. Well, but the thing is that's what a marriage is. It's going through the ebb and flow of life, the goods, the bads, the celebrations. I mean, at Christmas, we had a wonderful time with family. And then, you know, you just go through the highs and the lows, and it's a fun, wonderful journey where you get to trust God together.
And it's not God's will for you to go through life by yourself.
No, it isn't.
It's not good for a man to be alone. God has not changed his mind.
Joe, if someone's marriage is hanging by a thread, what advice would you give them?
Well, okay, let's take this real slow. This is a two-person thing. So if you're hanging by a thread, it didn't start off that way. Hey, I'm hanging by a thread. You're hanging by a thread. How about we get married? Hey, I hate you. You hate me.
We're at that point.
So. I know. And so at that point, it's like, so a lot of words have evidently been spoken. A lot of stuff's been done. Probably a lot of it not good. So here's the option. I said, well, you can just cut this thing off and jump. And jump into another marriage. Now, I've got a huge family. I got one aunt married seven different men. Not a one of them is worth a wasn't worth a thing. And she called me when I did her first marriage, and she said, hey, I got divorced. She said, I'm getting married again. Would you do the marriage? She said, no, ma'am, I will not marry you again. She said, why? I said, well, I love you. I'll come to the wedding, and I'll throw rice and eat cake, and we'll have a good time. But I'm not married. You don't need to get married. You're not mature enough. Because like kind draws like kind. You're going to marry you. An immature person will marry another immature person. You're going to attract yourself. And people say, that's not true. No, it is true. And so what happens is, when you get married, and marriage is a covenant, what you're going to do, I'm promising to live my life, the rest of my life, with this person. If they're sick, if they're in bed, if they're not feeling good, I'm going to be the helper. And I'm probably not going to get a lot of good verbiage in the middle of it. Oh, thank you for loving me when I feel bad. Thank you for being nice to me when I don't feel good. No, there are not going to be any good words. I'm going to do it whether you say anything good or not. I'm going to love you like God did. God loved us when we were not lovable. Mm-hmm. He sent his son to die for us when we weren't dying for. So that's what real love is. So that's marriage. And God said, listen, it's a great example. So if you're hanging by a thread, first thing you need to do is kind of get a third party. I always get a third party. Just listen, if you can't get along with Duke, go get a third person. Sit down with him. Hey, we're not getting along. This isn't going good. We need a mediator. Somebody's a Christian. Somebody you know. Somebody from church, hopefully. Somebody that knows you. And so if they won't, let's go get your pastor. Now, I just start with that. If you got a church, and if you're not in church, that may be a problem. Go get your pastor. Hey, pastor, can we come in and visit for a minute? We're having some problems. And so just be honest, be open, don't lie, and don't yell at each other. Here's what I think. Here's what I believe. Here's what they think, what they believe. What do we do? And hopefully, most of the time, he's going to give you some good advice. And so, well, he'll keep it simple. I've never met a good man or woman of God that didn't keep it simple. Well, let's try these two things right here. Let's start with this. I got a pastor friend that I love for years. So good. He was my pastor for a long time. Getting ready to get a divorce. And so they went to another city, flew to get this man of God to help him. And so here was his advice, because they hated one another. We don't like being married to each other. We never should have got married to begin with, but now we got the two kids, and we got this ministry thing going. So here's what he said. Well, stay together until your kids get out of high school. Just out of sheer hate, love one another. And he said, if you hate one so bad, I hate you so bad, but I'm staying married till my kids get out of high school. And just say it by faith. Well, I love you. And they would yell at one another. I love you. I love you. You know, they'd yell. And so for months this went on, and finally one day they got tickled. They were sitting across the table from each other. They realized, hey, let's just stop yelling. They fell in love again. And actually, they do some of the best marriage seminars that are done in this country today. Who's doing those good marriage seminars? A couple that hate each other's guts were trying to get a divorce. There comes a point where you got to make up your mind. There's nothing better. There's not a better. I didn't marry the wrong person. You know, marriage is what you do, not who you marry. So it's you. So it's like, you got to make your mind up. No, I'm sticking with this. I want to make this work. Whatever it takes. I'll go the second mile, I'll give my shirt and my jacket, whatever it takes. I'm going to make this work. Until you decide that, nothing's going to work. It's up to you. You have to decide. If you're on the edge, if you're at the last thread, well, keep that last thread hanging on and start building back. Revelation 2 talks about, Jesus talking about the church at Ephesus. He bragged on them more than anybody, the seven churches in Revelation. He said, you know, I'm really proud of you, all the good things you've done. He said, but I've got this one thing against you. I said, I thought you liked us, and I love you, but I have one thing. What? He said, you've left your first love. What? You've fallen out of love. You've left your first love. And so what do we do? He said, we'll do three things. Remember from whence you fell. Think back when you were first in love. Well, it was wonderful. We were hugging and kissing and couldn't keep our hands off each other. What happened? Well, it went south. Remember when you fell. Repent that you fell out of love. What? Repent that you... Well, I'm not sorry. No, you need to repent. Well, Lord, I'm sorry that we've fallen out of love. Then redo what you did when you were in love. Talk nice. Go out for a cup of coffee. Go for a walk around the house. Go walk down the street. Start dating one another again. I had a guy in Kentucky one time said, you know, I fall in love with my wife seven times this year. I have to relearn to fall in love all over again. And said, we keep it strong. So just start again. Just make your mind up. I'm going to save this, and we're going to make this work. That's a long answer to a short question.
It is, and you're absolutely right. I will say, though, when my marriage was hanging by a thread, it's interesting, when I was single all those years, if anybody was having marital problems and they were thinking they were going to get a divorce, they would always call me thinking that I would say, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
And I'd say, I'm the worst person you could call, because I hate it now more than I ever have.
Yep.
There's a reason God says he hates divorce, because it goes on and on and on. It never stops, the pain. And you actually said it one time that you know God experienced the first divorce.
Yes,
when
he
gave everything to Adam, loved him, gave his heart to him, and then Adam rejected him.
And went with the devil. And so hell became, Lucifer became the god of this planet. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan became the god of this planet. Why? Adam and Eve sinned. So God said, you don't want me? Go off with the other guy. And that didn't turn out too good. You know, there's a whole Bible written about that story.
And at the end of my marriage, I would have stayed. as long as I, and I had stayed probably longer than I should
have. You stayed a long time, Angel.
And I said, I remember I said to my ex-husband, at this point, it's not that I don't think you want to be married. I just don't think it's me you want to be married to. So if this is what you want, you know, I mean, I'll give it to you.
You can't change a person's heart.
You can't. You can't. If
only
somebody
God
is bent on leaving, if they're bent on destroying the marriage, you can't stop that no matter what. Because God won't even stop it because he gave us free will.
Yes.
And he will allow someone to go stupid if they want to.
God said, if they want to leave, let them leave. New Testament. Mm-hmm. About couples that get messed up with them. They want to leave, let them leave. You can't make them love you. I can't make somebody love me. It's a choice.
But do all you can.
Yes.
And go the extra mile.
Yes.
Love big. You know, there's a great story about a great preacher, Smith Wigglesworth, that his wife, he had backslidden at one point. He had gotten saved and backslidden. And, you know, there's nothing meaner than a backslidden Christian.
They got
they got just enough scripture to make you feel condemned about everything. And so he said, one day she said, I'm going to go to church. And he goes, I'm the head of this house, and you're not going to go to church. And she goes, well, you are the head of this house, Smith, but God is the head of my life, and I'm going to go to church. And it was in England, and it was cold and wet outside, and she went to church, and he locked her out. And so the next morning, he opens the door, and she was snuggled up against the door, cold and wet. And he opened the door. She kind of fell in. She got up and went and made him breakfast. And he said, everything I owe to this woman, she loved me back to Jesus.
Yes.
So you want to walk away and say, I did everything that I could. And
went the second, third mile. Evidently, they don't want to go. Then fine. And God will let you know.
And repent. I mean, there's no couple that gets to that point where one person was completely wrong.
Point.
There's some, I mean, I had to, I spent an entire year after my divorce and said, well, God, what did I do that got us to this place? And I had to face myself, and it wasn't pretty. There were some things I had to face that were hard.
Yeah.
And so take responsibility for what you've done, repent for it, do what you can, stand when you can, but you can't.
And God will forgive, and he'll redeem, and he'll restore.
Yeah, but you can't manipulate and control somebody else's
will. No, you're not God.
Will.
No.
All right, Joe. That was a little heavy. Let's see if we can find a little lighter note. How
but about that was that? Good, though.
All right. Okay, here's one. I would like to know the answer to this. Joe, if you could put a quote on a billboard for everyone to read, what would it say? Lord, let me think of that one. Let me think. What would mine say?
Woo! Well, if I only had one billboard, I'd just put up repent. I'd put it in giant letters.
You'd like, look like those big billboards in the South that say that.
Like, I repent of what? I didn't do anything wrong. First thing people do, they get mad. I don't need to repent of nothing. I ain't done nothing wrong. It's exactly why I'd put it on the billboard. Let's stir the water. Let's stir this thing up. How many gators down here in this water, man? How many snakes? Let's poke this water a little bit. And so, you know, I see the bumper stickers, peace, love. They're worthless. They're worthless, you know. It don't make anybody love. I'm never, hey, how'd you get your life turned? I saw this bumper sticker said, peace and love. And I just fell in love with it. No, but if you get confronted, Jesus confronted sin every day. And he did it in love. Now, he didn't yell, he didn't scream. Old Zacchaeus, man, he's, you know, we got the tax collector up in the tree, little short guy. And Jesus walking down there. And people hated tax collectors. They hated his guts. Hey, come on down. Let's go have lunch. You're going to have lunch with a tax collector? Oh, yeah, I love everybody. So went to lunch. Guy repented, gave his heart to God, to Jesus, tried to give all the money back. I mean, his life flipped upside down. Why? Jesus went to lunch with her. Sometimes the greatest thing you ever do is take somebody to lunch. Well, they're a heathen. Well, that'd be a good person to take to lunch. Think of a heathen today. What, you got a heathen in your family? Hey, Frank, you want to go to lunch? I'd like to buy you lunch. And they're going to ask you, why are you doing this? Well, because I love you. Nobody loves me. I'm mean. I know it. Yeah, I love you. God loves you. That's when start treating you nice, you know. And it's amazing the power that's behind that.
I think if I had to do a billboard thinking today, of course, you know, I could come up with a lot of funny Southern sayings. But
sure.
I would say Jesus is not about rules. It's about a relationship.
That is a good one. That's a lot better than mine.
You know, I used to say you could – you know, you could sum up the gospel to me basically in, you know, when that scripture, when they said, you know, what's the greatest commandment to Jesus? Yeah. And what did he say?
Love God and love your fellow man.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you love God with all your heart and you love your brother as yourself, you know what? All the other stuff will fall into place.
You covered everything, brother. You got the whole.
If you got those two things, you know, then you're not going to want to covet your if you love your neighbor, you're not going to want to covet his wife.
You're not going to steal
from
him. You're
not going to want to lie.
Nope.
If you want to love God. And so basically that sentence summed up the gospel to me.
Yeah, it did. And all 17 books of the law. All 17 books of the law are tied up in those two sentences right there.
Yeah.
Love God, love your neighbor like you love yourself. And you will fulfill, Jesus, you will fulfill all the law by doing these two things.
Yeah, because you don't have to work on rules.
No, you don't.
You're loving God with all your heart. Those will just happen.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I like your billboard better.
You like my billboard better?
Yes, I do.
Me too, to be honest with you. Because I just kind of, when I pass by those ones that say, repent, I always just think.
Yeah, but you do stir the water with
them. You do. But I always think about the church I grew up with where we, there was a lot of condemnation. We had a lot
got
of.
Got saved every Sunday night.
And Sunday morning, too. Don't forget to mention that. Hey, guys, we have some great resources. We talked about marriage today.
Yes.
And Joe has written a fantastic book called You Don't Find a Great Marriage, You Build One. This is a great resource.
Oh, man,
for you
loaded.
If you are hanging by a thread.
It's loaded.
Or if you know somebody that is, this is a great resource. You can get it at joemcgee.com.
Yep.
That's where you can also find out information about how to partner with us. And there's other podcasts and everything. Please don't forget to watch.
A ton of stuff that you can go to for free. I mean, we're on. What I love about podcasts is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Anytime you want to watch,
just tap in. It'll help you.
Yeah, continue to pass it on, and don't forget to watch Joe and Josh on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
That's our new show.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. We've got
it's
a young
great.
Man, Josh, that we have known since he was a young man, and he is growing into a powerhouse.
He
for
is.
God.
He's an incredible preacher. So what we've got, two ends of the scale: the young one and the old one. So we're meeting in the middle.
Yeah, we're bringing in some fresh blood.
Come
that's going to give us some young perspective. And then on Fridays, Joe's Heroes of the Bible.
Oh, it's loaded.
Hey, we love you guys so much. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Monday.
Love you guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.